Hey, class, let's get started. For you and the online students, again, we're honored to Apostle Thompson. Our apostle is always emphasizing our class all the time when he's teaching us in our first session of apostolic strategies. So it makes this study very easy to carry on his anointing in this session. So as we continue to study upon a culture of honor, sustaining a supernatural environment, the whole point of the training is to help us to abstain a supernatural environment, to stay in this environment of the supernatural, the environment of God, the thoughts of God, the ways of God, doing things God's way, so that we would not become controlled or dictated by the world system, but learning how to break free from the world's system control of domination, which is to keep people in a poverty mindset, or to give them just enough to feel a lit freedom, but never enough where you're in total control of your environment. And that's the place God wants us to be in. He wants to be in a place of being in total control of our life and our environment. We dictate the changes or the advancements of our life. So it's important to us to get a culture mindset, to develop a generation of sons and daughters in the kingdom who understand that we're in a culture and we all think alike. We all operate alike, so that we can have what God says we can have and do what God says we can do and be what God says we can be. So with that information, and I'll give you a couple more tidbits of information that you'll need to know, along with your reading meditation time. This is very important. Great mysteries and great secrets of good success is hidden in books. And so there's that old cliche from the slave master is, if you want to keep anything hidden from a black man, put it in a book because he won't read it. But we realize reading is informational, it's impactful, it's knowledge, it's getting the ability of knowing, So you must begin to read. On a consistent base, because faith come by hearing, and not only hearing somebody speak it, but researching it. So faith can come where you have the inner ability to go after and possess what's rightfully yours, So I said that to get you informed on page 130 to page 138. That is your homework. You would need to read those eight pages, because that is where your five questions are going to come from. Okay? Remember, I taught you last session that the student determined how the teacher would teach. The student would determine how the teacher would teach. So I've discovered that many people don't read. They don't read. So therefore, we have to help them or point them in the direction of reading, because that's where you're going to get your information or the real root of your foundation of knowledge from, in researching, reading. So those are the pages you're going to need to read to get the information we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to be moving kind of fast, so you might need to write fast or just say, okay, I'm going to read all the information you told me to read so I can get those thoughts, okay? Very important. Here's a tidbit I want you to get tonight as we study about mindset, because we're still talking about mindsets, the mindset of the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy. How we think, how we internalize life situations. How we internalize life and life situations. Okay, so we have the poor, the middle class, and we have the wealthy. The good thing about our apostle, he's lived in all three of them. So he not only have the evidence, but he have the experience of knowing how to go through each phase and live in a place or an atmosphere or an environment where it's controlled, where he controls it, where he controls it. So we have a model before us, and he's talking about early having a model before us that's really showing us how that we can go there and live there from nothing. We can go there, and how God has a plan to get us there. And we can follow God's recipe for good success and have what God says we can have. So very important. So here's a tidbit I want you to get as you also read from the, not on the natural point of view, but the spiritual point of view of the writing of the instructor, or the writer of the book. Spirit man, mental man, natural man. These three perspectives that we live in every day. We live here every day. And the reason why the mindset has to be so impactful, where we have to renew our minds with new information, new insight, new revelation, is because of the fact each dimension of our life is affected, or in as well as affected, by the way we think. And we think in all three dimensions. In all three dimensions, I am a spirit that possesses a soul that lives in a body. In each three of these dimensions of my life that God has created me in, I live there every day. And when one of them is imbalanced or have a lack in any area, it also causes a slowdown in the other two. On effect or an effect in the other two parts of who of my being. So I got to equip all three dimensions so I can live in harmony in the fullness of what God wants me to do, be and have. Because it's no sense for me to be rich and I'm not healthy. You know, I'm bedridden, but I got $20 billion. Can't even enjoy it. So it's not a balance to me. So I got to understand all three dimensions in order to have the dimension of the spirit man, the dimension of the soul man, and the dimension of the natural man with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and operating in that every day so I can have my balance. So I can have balance and accuracy, balance and accuracy. So make this note of spirit man, mental man, and natural man. Getting the mind of God. And this is a process, getting the mind of God. It's a process. I have to get the mind of God from the Holy Spirit, which talks to me in my spirit man. The Holy Spirit does not talk to me in my soul man. He does not talk to me in my natural man. He only talks to me in my spirit man. My spirit man. Okay? That Paul talked about the most inner being. The most inner being, my spirit man, is where the Holy Spirit communes with. That's where he has fellowship with. That's where God has fellowship with, because I am a spirit. God is a spirit. So he ministered to me in my spirit man. So now I have a spirit mind. The spirit man has a spirit mind, the mind of God. So now I got to get the information from the Holy Ghost in my spirit man. Now I got to relate what God told me in my spirit man to my soul man or my mental man, the soul realm, the natural man, the soul realm, which is my intellect, my emotion, and my reason, and my will. Okay, I got to get that information from my spirit to get into my mental man to understand the mind of God and what God is saying, which now relates it to my natural man, which is my physical man. And so what most people have a problem with in Christendom is getting the information from the spirit man to get their natural, that mental man to come in agreement with the spirit man. And this is where Dad Thompson is talking about, that all our problem is in our souls. All our problems in our souls. See, money is not a spirit. Money is natural. It's tangible. So it operates in the physical realm. So what we're trying to do is get our wealth through work, which is physical. which we think, in a more or less, is going to bring us the peace we deserve, which is in our mental man or our soulish man. So it's a process of going up and down, up and down. So once we learn the balance of getting the mindset correct from the spirit world, the Holy Spirit, to come into our spirit man and our mental man, then everything in the natural man is going to come in divine order. He's going to come in divine order because the channel, the flow is open. The flow is open. So Dad is talking about getting our souls open to get into the flow of what God is saying. So the blockage come. Yes, the information I'm getting from God is correct. It's eternal. It's the perfect will of God. Yes, I'm going to have what God says I'm going to have. I'm going to live the way God says I'm going to live. But when it comes down to my mental man, he gets a problem because he already has some bad experiences. He already has some roadblocks. He grew up in a community that wasn't prosperous. He grew up in a home that didn't have enough. So out of all his experience, he blocks the fresh revelation of the knowledge that's coming from the spirit world in my spirit man from getting to my physical man, which is going to possess the money, which eradicates all the bad experiences out of my memory. So now I don't live there no more. But most people live there in the physical world because they still live there in the mental world. In the mental world is where the blockage is. So when we start reading the book on those pages I'm telling you about, we're going to see the thinking process, of how we think, So let's get in some of that because that's going to be very important to us to unfold in the little tidbit I just gave you. On page 130, the writer says, the author says, I like to, in the last paragraph there, he said, I like to zoom in on the topic of food. We talked about the different dimensions, how the poor think, how the wealthy think, and how the middle class think. He says, I like to zoom in on the topic of food, destiny, worldview, and driving force. First, in order to see the distinction between these classes prospectively more clearly, and second, in order to see the influence of these perspectives on us as believers in the church so that we can recognize where we need to line up with heaven. All of the 14 areas mentioned above are interesting in their own rights. So hopefully my analysis of these four will encourage you to go through the others and make the same kind of comparison. So his mind says to get us to think about how we see ourselves as a Christian, find out where we are, work on where we are. Work on where we are. Is it mental? Is it my spirit man I need to work on? Is it my mental man I need to work on? Or is it my physical man I'm having the problems with? Majority of us will come to revelation that we're having problems or challenges, not problems, challenges in our soul man is what the issues are. They're always in the soul man. As a man thinketh, so is he. Paul again emphasizing Romans 12:3 by being transformed by the renewing of our minds, getting our minds renewed. Let this mind in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. Get in the mind of God. Get in the mind of God. And the only way you can get the mind of God, we got to spend time with the mind of God, which is his word. That's the only way we can get the mind of God. Spend time with God. Spend time with his word. Okay, on page 131, well, let's finish the bottom. He says here in the chart, he deal with food. The poverty thinks about quantity, not quantity is most important to the poor. Okay, the middle class deals with quality most important. The wealth thinking is presentation most important. And if we read through this, he'll give us more clarity or insight of these three perspectives that he's talking about. Okay, so if you go over in page 131, the second beginning of the second paragraph, he's talking about when we go to a restaurant with a poverty mentality. You can mark this. Make this noteworthy. When we go to a restaurant with poverty mentality, we have a certain expectation. We go there because they give us tons of food. You see, he also emphasizes this statement, say, if I'm going to spend good money on going out to eat, this is what the poor think, then I want to leave that place stuffed. So therefore, the poor, again, the poor prophet, the poverty mindset is not on the quality of food he's eating. He's always thinking about the quantity of what he can get. The quantity of what he's going to get. He's not thinking about the value of what he's receiving. He's only thinking about how much he can get for his dollar. Okay? And one of the emphasizes is where we shop determine our quality of thinking. Our quality of thinking. So when we shop at places where it don't cost us but a dollar for a product or whatever, we think about how many more we can get versus the quality of what we are buying. Its existence, its strength, how long it's going to remain in our household or whatever we're using. No, we think about, well, if I get 10 of these for a dollar or 10 of these for what, $2, versus me buying one for $30, I'm getting a better deal because I'm getting more, which is, and not less, for my dollar. But I'm not getting a better quality for my dollar. So that means I'm going to waste more or I'll be back sooner to buy more because I'm only spending a cheaper amount for a less quality product. It's the thinking process. It's the thinking process. Not that rich people, again, do not budget. Not that rich people do not negotiate deals, which they do, because they want the best for their dollar, too, on a higher and the best quality of what they're getting and the best presentation of what they're getting. Then they're going to pay a quality price for it because it costs for that. But they're still going to negotiate, making sure that they get a better product for it, for their dollar, you know, what they can get. So they think in that line, too, but they know they're going to pay for it because the long lasting is more important to them than the temporary. Okay, so thinking down that line. So make a note of that, poverty mindset is always thinking about quantity, not quality. So if you need to make some shifts in your life, think about what you're doing. Because we don't want you reading the book. Dad Thompson don't want us just reading information without applying the application of the word. So the way to get here is you're going to have to stretch yourself based on information you receive from the spirit world. That God want me to have the best. God want me to live in the best. God want me to be able to bless people. So even though I'm down here at this level financially, or I was born into a certain condition physically and financially, I don't have to stay here. I can leave this place. But in order to leave that place, I must develop a mindset that I'm bigger than this, that life is better than this, that God wants me to have better than this. So I must start where I am and stretch my faith, stretch myself to go to that place, because it's not going to happen automatically just because I'm a Christian. And I love God. You know, many Christians who love God have died and gone to heaven broke. Have lived life unfulfilled on this earth because, in fact, they thought that God automatically was going to give it to them. Because they didn't read Deuteronomy 8:18 and 17:18. It just says, I give you power to get wealth. I don't give you money. I give you ideas. I give you creative thoughts and ability to get well. They always thought that God was going to just hold on to God's unchanging hand, you know, that God was going to give it to them. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So to get to this place, I must stretch myself to think bigger, think above where I am, and begin to start acting as if I'm already there, speaking as if I'm already there, walking as if I'm already there. You got to start. You got to start. You got to start learning to tip bigger than what you're tipping. You got to start going to a more expensive restaurant than you've been going to. You know, these are the starting lines. Learning to put X money aside specifically to go there. This money is a sign for me to go. I know I'm going to spend this $150 tonight. On purpose. To have an experience beyond Golden Corral. You know, eating four times, I'm only going to eat just one time tonight. And I'm not going to leave out of here full of stuff. You know, why? Because on purpose. You got to stretch yourself to go there on purpose to get an experience. Because the poor don't have this experience. Therefore, they do not go after, because they have never experienced living in a realm where no limitations are. That I can have better and do better and dress better and live better. They haven't had that experience. They only have broken promises, broken hope, never reaching a certain place. So that experience has blocked them in their soul, so they can't get from heaven down to the natural man, which start living it. What you and I are trying to do now is start living what God says. To live what God says we can live. That's where we're trying to go. And we are there. Some of us there and some of us on our way there. And little by little, we're experiencing it. We're experiencing it. So that's what we're trying to achieve. So those are the things you got to learn to do, is learn to stretch yourself on purpose. Put yourself in a position where I can have an encounter or an experience. And once you taste the goodness of God, on the other side of it, you always want to, you want to live there. You want to always go after, you always stretch yourself to go after it. You know what it's like to buy a $1,300 blouse with no shoes. You know, because, you know, ladies go shopping, they want what? The whole outfit. The whole outfit got a match. No, we just going to get a blouse, $1,300. No, they can keep that then. No, we need the whole outfit. See, the poor is thinking about what? How much I can get, and the middle class or the richest think about the quality of what I get. The quality of what I get. So the different mindset that goes on in that thought process. Okay, let's go down further in this writing, because time is just, man, it's moving. Time flies when you're having fun. And the one, two, three, the third paragraph, I want you to note this. Said, when our main concern is survival. This is the poor thinking. The poor thinks about survival. Survival. You know, they pull at the service station. They don't fill up. They just give me a half a tank or a quarter tank. Just give them point A to B. Or we'll do the rest of it Friday. You know, just enough to get by. That's enough to get by. You know, that's how they think. We're thinking survival. Why? Because I need some lunch money. I need some extra money in case something else happens. So I'm not going to put all this in a gas tank. You know, so we're always penny pinching in our life, being poor, never getting the quality of the best of things, because we're always thinking about it's going to run out. The poor always think it's going to run out, you know, but the wealthy know that there is no limit. It just keep on coming. But the poor had never had that encounter. So they always think they're always in the realm of always running out every 30 days. You know, from paycheck to paycheck, they run out. So they think that way, survival, you know. So we want to make sure we get beyond that kind of thinking process. That's the way we got to break out. OK, so he says here, when our main concern is survival, our relationship with food is one of hoarding. You know, always get more for your dollar in that realm of just packing stuff up, stockpiling stuff. Stockpiling stuff, because you always think it's going to run out. You know, you always think it's going to run out. It's always going to be more than enough, but you got to understand it and know that. He said, the belief that we are not sure when we will eat again doesn't actually have to correspond to reality for us to believe as though it does. With a belief system, make this note, with a belief system on the poverty of survival, priority of survival, excuse me, I live in an experience that meets my needs for quantity when I relate to food. I live in that experience of dealing with quantity when it's related to food. I'm always thinking about quantity. I'm always thinking about running out, always getting stuffed, always eating all I can get right now in case I don't come back. I can't get back. Always running out, never having enough. Okay, let's look the last paragraph here, which I think is noteworthy. He says, when I cultivate the impulse to hoard, whether I am hoarding food or something else, either food or something else, it effectively prevents me from being generous to anyone except those I think are worse off than myself. This is important because of the fact we don't try to sow in the realm of prosperity, of increase and expansion that Apostle teaches us on. Apostle always tells us that you have to sow up because there's no prosperity in the poor. You see, you always got to sow upward because the gravity of prosperity pulls up and not down. Okay? But when you only think about survival, you only have sympathy or compassion for those who are less fortunate than you are. Because it makes you feel better. Because I can help somebody less fortunate than me. So instead of seeing somebody who's already rich, the cliche of thought is in the mindset of the prosperity is if you see a rich man at lunch, pay for his meal. You say, you pay for his meal. Well, he already got money to pay for a meal. No, it's the gravity pull is when I sow upward to somebody who already got. It's the gravity that pulls me into the next level. If you are on a scale of 1 to 10, the thought process is, if on a scale of 1 to 10, if I'm already a 4, number 4, on a scale of 1 to 10, a number 3 won't do me no good. Well, I'm already past him. I'm already past her. I already walked to that level already. So I need somebody who is a 6 or 7 or 8 to pull me up because they have more encounters, they have more experience, and they have more substance. To make me better, to enlarge me. Okay? So however you see yourself or think of yourself will determine the levels that you're going to go on. That's why you always connect with somebody who's bigger than you. Because you can't go up no further than where you are unless you find somebody bigger. It's called the law of the lid. The law of the lid. Now, this Dad Thompson taught us this some years ago, the law of the lid, which is this ceiling. It's a lid. It's a lid because it tells me the furthest I can see is right there. It tells me the furthest I can reach is right there. So it's stopping me in my success. So my own abilities of what I can do, my ability, my talent can only take me so far. It's called the law of the lid. But by me knowing there's room above it. And the only way to get this lid removed, I got to find somebody who's living on the next level. You see? And that way they're able to pull me to the next level. So I got to remove the lid. My ability is going to take me so far, I need to connect with somebody who has greater ability so they can pull me to the next dimension. And that's why we sow up. That's why we make strong connections with men and women of God like Apostle Thompson, who has that spiritual anointing, that wisdom, and that fathering anointing to take us to the next level, to the next dimension with what he knows, his encounters with God, his experience, as well as his influence to take you to the next level. So that's the same way, same principles of getting from poverty to prosperity or to the wealthy or to the middle class. You got to connect with somebody who's already there. Connect with somebody who's already there. That's how you go to the next level. Because you only can go as far as your own ability. Your own talent will take you. Okay? So get that in your spirit as well. Oh, man, let's see. Okay. He goes on to say the next sentence. He said, I think are worse off than myself. Those that are worse off than myself, okay? He said, I have friends who are waitresses. He uses it as a joke, but it's a reality. He uses it as a joke, but it's a reality. A general consensus is that the Sunday afternoon crowd is the worst group to deal with. As a waiter in the fast food business, a restaurant business, the waiter will tell you that Sunday group, which is the Christian group, they are the worst group to deal with in the restaurant business. Watch what he says. They are typically demanding, irritable, and stingy with their tips. Because we want more than we're willing to pay for. We want more than what we're willing to pay for. So we're running to people, get us a cold drink, get us some water, give me some lemon, give me some hot buns or whatever. You know, roll, I want a hot roll, you know, type of stuff. We're ripping and running the waiters back and forth, and we're expecting quality service, but we're not going to give them a quality tip. And so in the restaurant business on Sunday, they really do say that Christians are the worst tippers. The most stingy people that come through there across the whole week. But we ain't talking about us. Man, we just talking about that. Some other folks don't know this stuff. Okay, page 132. Unfortunately, Christians with a poverty mentality go out for lunch after church and share their limited view of heaven with their community. When we go out there, we don't look like heaven in our representation. Okay, my time is running. Let's look at the second paragraph there. It says, I submit that we also often set a poverty mentality at work when we take an offering in church. We also take a poverty mentality at work when we set an offering in church. It goes something like this. Today we are going to show you a video of starving children in Africa. These kids are way worse off than you. We are going to play sad worship music and show you tragic scenes so you can feel guilty about keeping your money. Then you are afraid to give it. Thank you for your generosity. You know, he's really talking about the mindset of how we do in our giving at church. In order for the poor to give, we got to show them people who are worse than them. You know, if I would show them a man who had 4 jets and paid for it and what he's riding in and how he's living, they say, oh, no, heck no, we ain't giving up nothing here. No, why he did? Mama give him my money. He don't need nothing. But then they don't understand the process of heaven, government, and earth realm, that the gravity of prosperity is a gravity that pulls up. You have to sow upward. That teaches in Matthew 13 and 11, he teaches about the sower who went to sow. The sow, he tells us that when the sower who went to sow, he says, to him who have, it shall be given. He said, the mystery is to him who have, it shall be given. See, people do not give to those who don't have. They give to those who already got. They give to those who already. The reason why you go to Macy's is because Macy's already got it. They already got it. The reason why you go to the certain restaurants you go to, because they already got it. You see, the reason why you buy Jordans is because Mike already got it. You don't give somebody that don't have no name. Never met them before. So you always buy labors. You see, you go across seas and built a thing for $5, but you put Mike on it, Jordan on it. Now you're going to sell it for $250. You watch what you bought, the name, the labor. Is what you bought. It's not the original cost. You see what I'm saying? So we give to those who already got. You know, but the poor always want to give to those who don't have because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good. So they'll come to a ministry like here and they want me to show up. They'll come the first day and they see money. Well, oh, no, nope, we out of here. We ain't coming back. You know, you're going to put them 2 fingers up? We ain't coming back. We gone. You know why? Because of their mindset. That's the way they think. It's the way they think. It's mindset. Okay? So we're shifting to the mindset. Okay. The next paragraph, we're dealing with the middle class. That's the way the middle class think. The poverty always think about quantity, not quality. That's the poverty mindset. The middle class think like this. The middle class is more than free to eat whenever they want. Their resources give them many more options. Therefore, quantity is not a driving force in choosing what they eat. The middle class recommend a restaurant like this. Oh, you have got to go there. They have the best chicken cordon bleu in the world. Hope I pronounced that right. It is so good. They also have the best ribeye steaks I've ever eaten in my life. There is this sauce, man, they serve. Oh, my. It is so good. It is like $50. $50, though, but it's so good. You got to try it. You see, they're not thinking about cost. They are thinking about the quality of what they're eating. The quality of life is more important than what it's going to cost. That's why you got to put your value, your focus on purpose more than cost. Dad talked about today, purpose and grace. The scripture out of Timothy, purpose and grace. You know, you got to put your mind on purpose. Where is God trying to take me? What is God trying to do through me to reach nations, to fulfill the covenant that all the family through the earth through you shall be blessed? So that purpose has to become my drive. It has to become my drive. Purpose has to become my drive, not cost. So when I got to give and I got to sow and I got to buy plane tickets and I got to go do this and do that, man, that's okay. It's where it's taking me. It's where it's taking me. It's what God has called me to do. It's worth the sacrifice. That's what you got to keep in your spirit all the time in kingdom, that God is taking me somewhere so I can be a blessing to do what he wants me to do for this assignment on my life. Okay, drop down to the last paragraph on that same page, 132. It said the value placed on food is determined by the quality. If it doesn't taste good, then the middle class will pass. They will pass. But if it's delicious, they will pay extra and come back later for more. Make this note, underline this next statement. They know that they have the choice of where to spend their money and had better get quality in both food and service. That's the way the middle class think. They know where they have the power of choice where they're going to spend their money and on what they're going to spend it on. But it got to be quality and quality service. Quality and quality serve. And that's where you have to think, because where you go to be served, where you go to eat, when you're paying for it and you're willing to pay good money for the service and quality, you have the power of choice. You have the power of choice. I can get up and walk out of here and pay you for those few cold drinks I just drank out of, you know, and gone by my business. You see, but see, the poor don't have choices. They don't have choices because they only deal with the thought process of quantity and not quality. Getting stuff, getting more, hoarding up more. You see, the rich and the middle class and the rich don't think like that. So we're trying to help you change your mindset about even the quality of ministry you go set up under, the quality of the church that you go set up under. You know, and that's why even in ministry, when we teach in mindsets, we got to teach our ushers and our greeters and our parking lot attendants how to greet people. That the ministry of the kingdom is about people. We're dealing with people, and how we present ourselves to people will determine whether they return or come and become members of our congregation. It's the quality of the presentation. Doesn't matter how well and how well Apostle Thompson has prepared the message ain't going to flow in the anointing. If you met a nasty sanctuary servant or usher in that for you before you got in there, your mind already strewed. So then already messed with your mind. So no matter what he does, when you walking through that, think about all, I mean, a good message, apostle, good anointing. But that woman out there, that man out there, I tell you, you need to get rid of them. They're going to run folks off. Why? The mindset of the presentation was more important to the wealthy than the message itself. And that's why the mindsets of presentation is so important to wealthy people. And you are the wealthy people. We don't have to take anything from anybody, you know, because God has made us the head and not the tail, the above on, never beneath. And my time is up, and I have y'all quiz online. God bless you. Y'all have a great night. The page you need to meditate on is page 130 to 137.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay.